Hey folks, Thursday night, 10 past 11, running a little bit late tonight. Graham Sutherland here with this week's edition of the 21st Century Jacobite. I'm having trouble with my internet. I'm changing providers and I let them know. Well, in fact, I didn't let them know. My new provider let them know because they've got to give them notice. And I think they're just being awkward. Because they know they're going to lose me. I've never had so much trouble. 20, 30 times a day, it's, you know, losing. I'm losing my connection. The strange thing is, the modem is still showing that I'm connected to the internet. So it's not my computer, and it's not my modem. It's beyond that. It's between the connection difficulties. It's between the modem and the internet. So, yeah, they're just being awkward. I know they are. And I was kind of warned by an engineer that they would probably do that. He said, it'll probably get really lumpy. Your connection will get really lumpy. It's almost like they're... It's sour grapes. Pretty much. That's what it is. But anyway, on the 19th, this is the 14th, I think. Yeah, this is the 14th. Next Tuesday... On the 19th, I'm getting an all-new connection with Vodafone. It's a 76 meg fibre optic connection compared to 30, 34, which I'm on at the minute. So hopefully it'll be a lot better. And it's a completely different network as well. They don't piggyback on British Telecom's networks like a lot of the other, you know, budget providers. They're all using the same fibre optic system, which is, you know, the basically the landline network. It's right across the UK. British Telecom, that's what we call it. But, yeah, it's a private company now as well, although it used to be the national, it was a nationalised phone company back in the day. I remember when I was young, it was called the GPO. General Post Office, and the General Post Office were responsible for mail and telecoms. That's why they called them General GPO, General Post Office. Anyway, they morphed into BT, as I say, morphed into British Telecom, and. Then they were nationalised, and then all hell broke loose, basically. So, yeah, that's just what we've got to, that's what we've got to put up with. The company I'm going with, Vodafone, they are actually the biggest cell phone provider in Europe, as far as I know. And they were, like, right on the, you know, they were right in at the start. I remember when I got my first car phone in 1987, 88, it was Vodafone. That was before mobile phones. Well, a car phone, you know, mobile back in the day. The
Anyway, yes. So, but there you have it. So, if I lose connection or something weird happens, whatever, it's. I apologize. It's kind of involving. It's not. I'm hoping all my problems will be solved. Provided I'm going with. We'll soon find out. Can't be any worse anyway, that's for sure. So, anyway, yes, I was going to speak of Oklahoma. I don't know if you've been following the news or not, but all hell's breaking loose in Oklahoma. So, the thing is, they've made it law that, well, it's mandatory vaccines. You've got to have a mandatory vaccine if you're in Oklahoma. You're not allowed to travel. You can't travel out of the state or even within the state. And they're going to put, to make sure everyone gets it, and everyone's, caught in the dragnet, they're going to be issuing ID cards. Vaccination ID cards, and if you're not you're traveling around after a certain cutoff point, you'll get thrown in jail if you don't have this vaccination ID card. I mean, they've been speaking about this for a while, but it was always in the context of, you know, worst case scenario, nightmare scenario, George Orwell's 1984 kind of scenario. But Oklahoma have implemented it. So they're going to be implementing what they call choke zones all around the city, which is basically a posh term for roadblocks, basically, slowing down the traffic. So they can basically pull you over and check your papers, just like fascist Germany, really. Unbelievable. I never thought I'd hear it in my lifetime, but yeah, that's exactly what they're doing. So, I would expect, I mean, down there, they're quite kind of patriotic, and there's a lot of armed and dangerous people down there, so I would expect it's going to really kick off. People are not going to roll over, that's for sure. They're not going to roll over and accept it. Absolutely, definitely not. That's not going to happen. So you can expect a revolution down in Oklahoma. For sure. So, yeah, I was listening to the senator tonight. Someone sent me a link. He was on a podium addressing the crowd, warning people of what was coming. And, of course, it was all done under the guise of for your safety, it's for your safety. Now, that's an interesting cliche, that, for your safety, because that was actually exactly what the Nazi Party said during the Second World War to, to the people, for your safety. Let me see your papers, You know, it's always safety. It's always sold on the back of safety. And, of course, we all know how absolute nightmare scenario. I don't know if anywhere else is doing it. I know a few states are speaking about it, but this is certainly it's a horrible step. I mean, mandatory vaccines, that's what we're talking about, whether you like it or not. So the next question is, what is actually in those boxes? And what's the purpose of them? Because it's not. I mean, they never tell the truth. You're lucky, you'll get half the truth. So what's really going to be blasted into your body? That's a real question. What are they actually doing? Well, we know for a fact that they are hoping to inject an RFID chip in, the micro RFID chip, and some other chemicals that actually electrify your bloodstream, basically. They light you up like a Christmas tree. Metal oxides and whatnot. So it's absolute terrifying. I'm so glad I'm not in Oklahoma. And I'm so glad that one of my favourite artists, J.J. Cale, passed away just a year or two ago. He often sung about Oklahoma. Oklahoma was in a lot of his songs. So I kind of feel it's weird having listened to J.J. Cale since I was in my 20s, early 20s. I kind of feel a connection, although I've never been down there. I feel a connection to Oklahoma just through the music of J.J. Cale. Quite strange that. But I do. I feel I kind of know the people and I kind of know the place. Just because, as I say, those songs of J.J. Cale was kind of a soundtrack to my youth. I listened to a lot of his music. In fact, by the time I was like 25, I think I had like 25 J.J. Cale albums. I was a major fan. And I also liked other bands that he inspired, if you like Dire Straits, for instance, and Eric Clapton. Clapton covered a lot of J.J. Cale stuff. But anyway, yeah, I diversifying a little bit. Yeah, he sang a lot about Oklahoma. And how laid back a place was. That was always the impression I got. You know, it was laid back. It was easy, easy going. That was always a feeling I got, you know. People had time for each other. Had time for stuff. They weren't all about, you know, craziness. Like, you know, New York and LA and stuff. The rat race. Yeah. So, yes, I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but that's exactly what's happening in Oklahoma. It's not good. We're talking mandatory vaccines. That's what we're talking about. Absolutely horrendous. You know, they've made that move. Can't believe there's not more, you know, noise about it. I just can't get my head around that. I don't know when it was. I mean, that video that I watched of the senator, you know, making the announcement about mandatory vaccines, I don't know if it was just today or, you know, if it was a few days ago or whatever. But it was wild because when he was given this information, the crowd that was listening to him, it was just amazing that their eyes had all glazed over. Like, it reminded me in a whole load of sheep about to, you know, be led to the slaughter. Oh, man, yeah. So, yeah, as a heads up for Oklahoma, I feel very sorry for the people, to be honest. Very sorry for the people. So, yes, there was another idea. One of the ideas we put forward instead, this is in Oklahoma again, instead of an ID card, they're speaking about putting on like wristbands, like, you know, convicts get, well, not convicts, people that's released on bail, a kind of under house arrest, if you like. They've got to wear this bracelet. So they're speaking about that. They're speaking about, that's another idea they're coming out with. So, just to make sure that the government's edict of mandatory vaccinations is carried out, that's the whole crux of the matter. So it was passed last week, apparently, in Oklahoma. Everyone will be vaccinated in the state of Oklahoma. Everyone. Yep. So you can't go anywhere. That's what they're saying. Even within the state. They're not talking about going out the state, you know, or, you know, into the next state or whatever. They're talking about just traveling within the state. You can't do it unless you've had this vaccination and unless you can prove that you've had this vaccination. That's what we're talking about here. Wow. So, wow. It's unbelievable. I mean, what does mandatory mean? Mandatory means you've got to do it or you'll get thrown in jail. It's mind-blowing. So they're basically saying to you, they're going to stick a spike in your vein and they're going to blast you with a vaccination, but you've got no idea of what it contains. But no idea really what's in it. And I mean, history has taught us that vaccines are not good. There's more people died of the measles vaccine than have actually died of measles. And there's more people died of flu with the vaccine than there's more people died of the flu vaccine than has died of flu. That's a sad reality of this vaccine thing. And of course, they keep making mistakes. They're obviously not mistakes, they're obviously intentional. But they say, oh, sorry, we've made a mistake, and that's when they go and sterilize thousands of African women, or go and paralyze thousands of Indian girls. That vaccinations did that. Thousands, 46,000. Indian girls. I've mentioned this before, but it's worth mentioning again. It's absolutely outrageous that the Gates Foundation, remember Bill Gates was responsible for all of the healthcare in India in the year 2000 onwards. They actually trusted him. They thought he was a good guy. Then when he started paralyzing kids, they chucked him out. Not only did they chuck him out, they raised a court action against him. And he's wanted. Bill Gates is wanted by the Indian High Court because of his exploits, because of his dodgy vaccines. Oh man, it's getting bad. And all over the internet this week has been a footage and photographs of Melinda Gates with her upside down cross, which is clear evidence that they are steeped in the occult. They're antichrist. That's what the upside down cross means. I am an antichrist. That's what it means. Chelsea Clinton is often caught flashing one as well. And so is Madonna. And so is Oprah Winfrey. They've all been known to wear those upside down crosses. It's just extremely blasphemous. Extremely blasphemous. And it's almost like it's sort of two fingers up to Christianity, isn't it? They're following, the dark occultic overlords. So, make no mistake, Bill and Melinda Gates are heavy-duty occultists. They're into Molech worship, child sacrifice, all of that stuff. Let's just call a spade a spade. That's what they're into. It's not just a piece of jewellery or whatever. They love to wave things in your face like this. It's hidden in plain sight. How obvious How obvious does it have to be before some of you people wake up and say, all right, yeah. They're all about symbology. That's what they're about. They're all about symbology. They can't, it's almost like a deal or a pact to make with the devil. They've got to be, what would you say? They've got to hide the truth in plain sight. They've got to. They've got to, like, hide it right under your nose. They've got to make it so obvious that you actually question, you know, you question the fact that it's so obvious. And you think, well, that is so in your face. You know, could that be? Is that true? You know, she's wearing an upside down cross. Is she really, really that blatant? That blatant? Well, the answer is obviously yes. Rothschild, wife as well, she's another one. She's always wearing these thick, gold, Molech type heads, you know, with horns and everything on them, as a necklace. I don't know about you people, but I'm just starting to realise that this is getting really in your face. No, they're not even attempting to hide it anymore. They're not even making a vague attempt to hide it. Absolutely unbelievable. And like I say, I mean, it's so obvious. They're coming out of the shadows, that's what they're doing. They're laying their cards on the table. So I don't know, getting back to Melinda Gates, I don't know about you people, but I think that's a man. I really do. Got a manly kind of face, manly kind of jawline, but more than any of that, she's got a very distinctive Adam's apple. Very distinctive Adam's apple. Kind of like, and that's what they do, isn't it? They like this whole transgender thing. That's what they're all about, you know? Flip your sex over. It's part of the Baphomet thing, isn't it? Because Baphomet is a half-human, half-goat, half-woman, half-man. Big, muscular-looking, goat-headed entity with boobs, basically. What's the word? Hermaphrodite. For sexual organs. So, yeah, that's the whole sex thing, you know, the transgender thing, you know, the LGBTQ thing. They're behind all of that. They love it. Absolutely love sexual ambiguity. They love it. They thrive on it. Turning everything upside down, just like it does. That's what they do. Well, that's what they do. That's how blatant it all is. And we know that Gates, two of them, in fact, were on Jeffrey Epstein's Lolita Express a number of times flying around the world, and also on his island, Wilson James, also known as Pedophile Island. We know they were there as well. So they're all in the same cult. They're all in the same cult. The Clintons, the Podestas and all that, they're all in the same cult. They're all extremely evil. I wish I had a beat machine. Because I was going to say that evil. So obvious. It's so absolutely, definitely obvious. And they're making it more so. Just rubbing our faces in it. They really are. So they've got this grossly exaggerated virus on the go. And And it's all, every time you switch on TV, every time, you know, there's more than 197 cases in Brazil. France has got 178,000 cases. 174,800 in Germany. You know, it's just corona, 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 corona. And I can't help thinking that this is a smokescreen. This whole thing is a smokescreen. I really got a strong feeling about that. And it makes you think, well, what? Okay, so we know what they're saying. They know what we're trying. They know what they're trying to do. They're trying to get us absolutely obsessed with us. You know, well, united in fear over this corona thing. That's what they're trying to do, totally united in fear. And so what are they distracting us from? That's a question. Well, there's some pretty nasty stuff. There's some quite high-tension stuff happening in the South China Sea. I'm getting to the point where they're, well, it's a little bit beyond saber rattling. They've started firing live rounds around, doing shows of the Americans doing shows of strength in the South China Sea, basically trying to goad China into a fight. You know, to build up to a fight. That's what they're doing. That's exactly what they're doing. See, the thing is, America's bankrupt. That's the truth of the matter. And another look at the debt clock today. $25.2 trillion national debt, and it's going up like crazy. It was only a few weeks ago it was 23, and now it's jumped up to over 25. We're at 25.2 now, and at the same time that numbers are straddling up and up and up and up and up. They keep throwing money. They keep throwing their fiat currency, their fake money. They keep throwing it at people, throwing it at banks, throwing it at companies. And we all know how that is. You don't need to be a mathematician to know how that ends. It doesn't end very well. It doesn't end very well at all, because you basically just cause hyperinflation. Your dollar's worth nothing. So that's where we're at. And people are... everyone's in debt, even students. And the trouble is, there's so many people now in the States with degrees. You know, they're all chasing the same jobs. They're all trying to chase the same jobs. But everyone's got degrees now. So the only way you stand out is if you've got a PhD or whatever. But if you went for that level of education, you know, a PhD or whatever, and the Masonic education has, it'll take you probably until your early 30s, you know, to get that, realistically, you know, to get that qualified. And then you've got to pay back hundreds of thousands of debt. So before you even start working, you're in debt. It's all debt. Everyone is owed everyone else money. So this COVID-19 thing has burst the bubble. We are beginning to see stuff imploding. Now, of course, there'll be a delayed reaction. But the balloon has popped, let me tell you. Someone has taken a pen and went pop. And that pen is COVID-19. And as I say, it's not just a national debt that's going up. The tax revenue is coming rattling down. Unbelievable. You look at those two numbers, how sharply tax revenues drop. Of course, because no one's working. I mean, I know there's pockets here and there with back to work and stuff like that, but the economy, you know, the bulk of the economy, the manufacturing side and everything, they're not working, so they're not paying tax. So it can only go one way. It can't only go one way. Bankruptcy. That's what we're really dealing with here. And while all this was going on, with this COVID-19 smokescreen, the other big thing that happened, of course, the other elephant in the room, was another, yet another huge bank bailout. Huge bank bailout. That's what happened. But we're all so busy. Oh, COVID-19. Oh, Corona. We're all so brainwashed and stupefied by the media. No one's even mentioned the bank bailout. No one's ever really noticed it. There's all this confusion at the moment. Everybody's a bit confused as to exactly what's happened as regards the Federal Reserve and the Treasury. It would appear that Trump's taking control of the whole lot. That's how it would appear. But it's not like them to go down without a fight. It's really not. So we've not got the full story there. Absolutely no, for a fact. We've not got the full story. But it's fluid. Stuff's still changing. Stuff's still happening. So we'll have to kind of like just, you know, watch this space. So it would appear that all the countries that are reporting big numbers of corona deaths, I'm talking about Italy, Spain, Germany, the UK, Mexico, Canada, France, I think I said France already, all of these countries, Canada, of course, Ireland, Netherlands, Belgium, all of these countries that are reporting big numbers, they're all under the power of the globalists, the New World Order. With the exception, the only exception, of Iran. They've got the trend. Russia as well. I mean, Russia's got relatively small numbers. But I don't know, it's kind of like, just take a step back and forget about your political affiliation. Forget about that for a moment. And just take your political hat off and just look at the bigger picture of all these countries. They're all reporting the big numbers. They're all basically telling the same story on the media. You know, I'm terrified. You know, we've all got to stay in and all this kind of stuff. You know. The same, what do you call it, hysteria. All of these countries are peddling this hysteria. I'm absolutely convinced. They're all New World Order globalists. And this is a big move to, implement the One World Government, One World Currency, Digital Currency. And it certainly looks like it. It looks like where we're at in history. Just about everybody I know that pays attention to these matters. That seems to be exactly where we are at history. Christians believe it as well. And Muslims believe we're in the time of history where shortly the Mahdi will be revealed and all this kind of stuff. The Antichrist. They believe we're there. Christians believe we're there. beginning of the beginning of the tribulation period. I slipped there. Speaking about beginning of the 7-year tribulation period, that's what Christians do. And I would include myself. I would include myself in that. It would appear to be where we are in history. Things are hot. Very, very. Very, very. Look how quickly this lockdown thing happened. The people have just rolled over. I'm not flabbergasted. I'm flabbergasted because people are believing the media. Now, that media kept the pedophile, the pedophile scandal, Jimmy Savile's pedophile scandal, and all the Westminster pedophiles, they kept it all really hush-hush, remember? For about 30 years. They also lied about 9/11, lied about JFK, they lied about weapons of mass destruction. So, it's quite obvious they're compulsive liars. I think by now, people would be like, oh, wait a minute, what are the media up to now? But they're so good at it. They're so good at selling us this hysteria. People want to buy it. People want to, people like fear. People love to be united with our neighbours in fear. Something else to talk about, isn't it? It's a bit boring talking about the weather all the time. Seeing some people today, I was just observing. I've seen some people going around. Workmen with masks and everything on. I don't know what they were doing. They were just in a shop, you know, getting something for their dinner. Getting something for lunch or whatever. All wearing masks and everything. It's almost like a symbol, like a sign of your servitude to the system. That's what it's like. It's a bit like a yellow star. You know, they used to make the Jews wear a yellow star to identify themselves. And the Warsaw ghettos in 1938-1939, before the war even broke out, they were all walking about with yellow stars on. Then later on, they got their number tattooed on their arm. It's a bit like that. That's where we're going. That's where we're headed. Treating people like cattle. There's classes. It blows me away. Absolutely blows me away. I've lost my faith in humanity. I really have. I've completely lost my faith. I had no idea people, especially Americans, I had no idea we would just roll over and be shafted like this. They know, I mean, everybody's speaking about it online. They know that the numbers are fudged, exaggerated, massaged. Everybody knows that. Anybody who's paying attention knows that the numbers are not real. The numbers are inflated. Everyone knows that. Anyone with, you know, more than a couple of functioning brain cells knows the numbers are not real. Medical staff said, look, these numbers are not real. We're being, encouraged or forced to mark general death, you know, for typhoid or sepsis or lung cancer or whatever, for being more or less forced, yeah, to put down COVID-19 as the cause of death. The other evidence, of course, the other thing that validates that statement is the fact that deaths from regular flu are dramatically down from seasonal norms. Lung cancer deaths are down dramatically from seasonal norms. And every other, death from diabetes and all this kind of thing. Even natural causes, car crashes and whatnot, all that's down. You could argue that the roads are not so busy now, it's mostly for at home, and that's a valid point. But nevertheless, even accidents, everything has completely fallen off a cliff. All the numbers are down. And yet the COVID numbers are soaring, absolutely soaring. Folk are coming out saying, look, wait a minute, I've just lost my dad, or I've just lost my mum, or my uncle, or whatever. And, the cause of death was terminal cancer, but they've got some kind of flu on the latter stages of their life, on their deathbed. They've got some kind of flu bug. And they just put them down as, COVID-19 was the cause of death. And these people were angry. They were like, that wasn't the cause of death. They had, they were riddled with cancer, for goodness sake. The fact that they also had some kind of flu bug or, some sort of flu bug has died is irrelevant. They were killed by cancer. Tumors killed them. So, a lot of people are very angry at this. How's the massage of the numbers? That's what they're doing. That's exactly what they're doing. Massage the numbers. The media are blatant about it. I mean, we spoke about this before, but using dummies. Dummies. And some of the news. All these empty hospitals everywhere. What I don't understand, I must admit, it's got me completely mystified, is why all these nurses and everything are posting dancing pictures of themselves, all dancing, flashing their boobs and stuff, showing their butts. I mean, what is all that about? That's went viral. Apparently, it went viral. They're all flashing and stuff. They're all doing these mad dances and everything. Jumping around, doing crazy dances with adult nappies on, adult incontinence pads and whatnot. What is that all about? I know they've been told that to speak to the media. We've spoken about this before. The fact that they're doing all these mad dances, dance routines and everything, it makes you think, are they trying to give us a message? They've got to sign the Official Secrets Act. They can't go blabbing people. I mean, a few of them have broken out and said, yeah, right, okay, this is a scam. People are dying because of, random illnesses, and they're putting them down as COVID-19, and also some of the practices, the ventilator practices, for instance, is the cause of death, it's killing people. Other nurses and doctors have come out and said that. There are people bucking the trend. There's a lot of anomalies here. There's a lot of stuff that just doesn't add up. There's a lot of stuff that's just completely wrong. Just wrong. There's a lot of that. But they certainly seem to be wanting to push the numbers. They want to increase the death count. And there's a financial incentive for them to do that as well, of course. But we already know Big Pharma. We already know Big Pharma is about creating customers, not cures. If they create a cure, that's a customer loss. And the trouble with it, when you get up to that level and start making, millions, it's a kind of illness. You know, greed kind of takes over. These people become obsessed with money. Absolutely obsessed with money. And the human life, even in the medical profession, human life is kind of, it's not highly regarded. You know, saving a life in an overpopulated world. Where's the glory in that? That's how it's sold to them. You know, they keep banging away about overpopulation. Keep telling us over and over again, overpopulation. So, it's no big deal to them. They're quite happy if you kill a few scores of people. Quite happy. That's the bottom line. And, that's the bottom line to get vaccines and that as well. Sadly. But, so that's the world we're living in. Nothing sacred anymore about human life. Nothing sacred. It's all just numbers. It's a numbers game to them. And they're all about thinning out the herd. And I'm absolutely convinced that's a real reason for the vaccine. It's a soft kill. It's a slow kill. Some people have suggested that, they can inject aluminium oxides and whatnot into the bloodstream. So, that if civil unrest reaches boiling point and they start fighting in the streets or those riots or whatever, or an uprising, a revolution, they'll be able to just fry people because their body will be full of, aluminium oxide or whatever, or metallic particles. They'll be able to, with the 5G, they'll be able to just fry them. A lot of people have suggested that. And it's worth looking at. It does make a lot of sense. And there are heavy metals. We know that much. Most certainly heavy metal. And we know for a fact that metals react to microwave errors. We know they do. So yeah, that's what we're feeling. What kind of corner is our move? We're in check. We're certainly in check in Oklahoma. We're certainly in check. Unless the people in Oklahoma stand up and fight against this madness, because it's almost like an idiot test, isn't it? Let's see how far we can push people. Mandatory vaccines? Who the hell do they think they are? We're going to inject you with this illness so that you don't catch an illness. It's lunacy. It's about money. It's about profits. It's about control. It's about uniting everyone. The Hegelian dialectic. Problem, reaction, solution. So they've created a problem. It's called COVID-19. And the reaction is, we all jump up and down in hysterics. And we all get absolutely terrified. The only way we can, sort ourselves out, or purge ourselves, or save ourselves from this hell by getting a vaccine, of course. Then we can get back to normal, traveling around and stuff like that. But it'll never be a normal. That'll never be a normal. They'll have subdued everyone. If they get away with it, will subdue the masses. There'll be a completely different change of vibration. There'll be a completely different change of energy in that whole state. And that state is just one of several states that's going to do this. Oklahoma have come out and said, right, we're going to try this. Other states are going to follow suit. They're going to do the same thing. Mandatory vaccines, bang, right across the board. Nothing you can do about it. Absolutely nothing you can do about it. If you refuse it, you can end up in jail. That's what they've said. They'll just herd people up and fire you in jail. If you don't take a spike into your vein, let them inject you with some duck, they're going to put you in a jail. Are people going to really accept that? I seriously hope not. I seriously hope people have got enough fight, you know, enough gumption to say, no, this is not happening. You know, you're not coming from my family. If you do, I'm going to be waiting. I'm going to be waiting for you with a small army, and we'll all be armed. And if everyone took that attitude, I can guarantee you it would stand out. Guaranteed it would stand out. People are not going to, you know, the local police are not going to start a civil war in the streets over what? Vaccine. It's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. No chance. So, yeah, that's what we're dealing with. That's the state of the game. Like I say, we're in check. We're definitely in check. We're in a corner. It's our move. It's Oklahoma's move. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Very interesting to see what happens. I would imagine it will be like a bloodbath. It's got to be. Mandatory vaccines, I mean, it kind of rolls off the tongue quite easily. But think about the implications. Think about what that actually is. What does that actually mean? It's it's absolutely horrendous. Absolutely horrendous. There's no fairness. There's no balance there. There's no logic. There's no common sense. There's nothing like that. Nothing. It's sheer and utter madness. It's Big Brother gone absolutely mental. Anyway, that's 5 past hour. I'll have a wee break now, Richard, if that's okay. Getting a little bit dry. A little bit dry around the girls. Could be done with a coffee. So I'll take 5. And come back after my break. Welcome to phone in, by the way, folks. Anyone that's listening, if you've got any opinions on these matters or any information, indeed, phone in. The numbers are on the main page there. Richard will probably give them out in the garden as well. But yeah, you're more than welcome to phone in, discuss these some of these matters we're talking about. Things are getting desperate. You know, we're gonna have to stop talking about stuff and start doing stuff. That's the feeling I get. You know, we're gonna have to start. It's time to beat our plowshares into swords. That's what I feel. I'm ready. That's the state of my head. I can't accept this. I really can't accept it, and I'm not going to, as I say, I'm not just going to speak about it. I'm willing to take up arms. I have to. What kind of world do you want to live in? What kind of world do you want to leave with your kids? Mandatory vaccine. Absolutely crazy. Anyway, Richard, yeah, I'll go and it's 5 past the hour. I'll go and have my coffee break now, and I'll be back in. Be back shortly, folks. It's okay, I'm back now anyway. So, yeah, folks, more than welcome to phone in. We want to discuss any of the topics we've been discussing, the COVID-19 thing, the horrible situation with mandatory vaccines in Oklahoma, or indeed the new Cold War in the South China Sea. That's a worry. That really is a worry. It went beyond just, you know, being a bit tense. It's at a flashpoint now. I have to say, I am quite worried about it. I really do think that America will use any means to start a war with either Iran or China as a way to get out of their impossible debt bubble. It's impossible. It's not. There's no way back from it. And in the big crash in 2008, they basically just they never really sorted the economy. They just threw some fiat currency at it. And they kept throwing fiat currency at it. And they bailed out banks. And, you know, they gave anybody that needed a loan of money a loan of money. And they reduced interest rates and they made money really cheap. So, you know, businesses were all borrowing up to the hilt. And because of that, they couldn't pay their staff proper wages. So the quantitative easing, as they call it, it's just a stupid term for throwing fiat money at a situation. But it actually kind of worked for a short term. But America was actually bankrupt in 2008 in real terms. They just threw loads of fiat currency at the situation. And they basically kicked the can down the road. So they've kicked the can down the road to 2020. So fast forward to 2020, now we've got this pandemic on the road. And the pandemic is the pin that's burst the bubble. So there's air flying out of the balloon. It's going to go, well, it's a lead balloon. It's just going down. There's no way back from it. The only possible thing they could do, the only move America can logically make, and I mean this is not an emotional thing, it's a logical thing. The only logical thing they could do is to start a war. Because then, at least that gives them a financial reset. It's unsustainable. The debt has just gone whoosh. It's totally taken off. As I say, it's sitting at $35.2 trillion. Just a couple of weeks ago, I announced it had just done 24. So, I mean, that's went up a trillion in 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks, or thereabouts. So, as I say, it's sitting at $25.2 trillion with a T. So, yeah, it's going to... obviously, in the next 2 or 3 weeks, it's going to be at 26. In 3 or 4 weeks after that, it'll be at 27. And all the while, it'll be getting faster and faster and faster and faster. Because that's just not the tax revenue coming in to balance it. In fact, the tax revenue is tanking in the opposite direction. It's... an elephant in the room that no one wants to speak about. That's what it is. So, yeah, the only way out of this is a war. It can't. It's not possible with, manufacturing or trade or business or whatever. It's not possible to even keep up payments. If they were keeping up payments, if we were managing to keep up payment, the numbers wouldn't be taken off the way they're taken off. It would be it would be stagnant, it would be even, it would be, well, the debt would plateau. And it will have to plateau, it would have to plateau in an ideal world before it could start going back down again, before it could start going in the right direction. It would have to plateau. But it's not, it's miles from plateau, it's like a runaway train. That's what we're dealing with here right now, a runaway train. That's the sad reality of the situation. And a war is inevitable. It's absolutely inevitable. Because America, let's be realistic here and call a spade, America has bankrupted itself with insane amounts of military spending. Look how many trillions they spent on the F-35, also known as the Flying Brick. It's almost like there was a curse on that aircraft. It just kept... It was dangerous. It was snapping pilots' necks with the G-Force. It was actually killing pilots in certain maneuvers. I guess it was because the, you know, the seat, the ergonomics of the seat, seats, the headrests and whatnot weren't that great. It must be something along that line. And under severe stress, severe G-force, it was snapping on it. But anyway, it's not just that. The whole project was beset with problems from start to finish. Very costly problems, one after another. And instead of just like saying, okay, let's cut our losses, you know, let's just rip it up and start again, we just kept throwing more billions at it, the more billions at it. So, the last time I checked, it cost them like $3.6 trillion to develop the F-35. And it's meant to be the super stealthy aircraft that ever. The Russians have got radar that can spot it a mile off. More worrying is their anti-aircraft missile system, the S-400. The latest version of the S-400, never mind the S-500, which is the upgrade, the updated version of the S-400 can see an F-35 easily. It can pick it out easily. More than that, it can actually hack into its onboard flight computer and read its flight information. Absolutely awesome, the system they've got. And this is all done by a computer, so it hacks into the enemy's, software, regardless of whether it's an F-35 or an F-16 or, you know, whatever, or indeed a cruise missile, and it can actually read their flight details, you know, whether headed and stuff, and in some cases, it can make them just fall out of the air and crash before they even reach their targets. It's an incredible system. And no one in America wants to speak about it because it's so advanced and it's so scary and it makes everything so obsolete that America's got. They don't want to speak about it. They don't want to face it because it's like, what are we going to do? And it's not just the anti-aircraft missile system we're talking about either. It's other weapons platforms, like the Onyx missile system. Unbelievable. It's hypersonic. And it's accurate to within half a meter. So only one missile flying at ridiculous speeds are like up to Mach 28 times the speed of sound. The radars can't even see them, and only one would only require one of those missiles to sink the biggest aircraft carrier the US has got in the fleet, or any aircraft carrier, or any battleship for that matter. One of these missiles. That's all it would take. It's not like a Second World War. These big battleships, you see, you know, sitting loud and proud in the ocean.
and you get all that emotional propaganda music and everything. It's bullshit. They're finished. There's no place for aircraft carriers anymore. This is the 21st century. There's unmanned submarines. There's unmanned drones. They've even got unmanned aircraft now. The Russians. They don't even need to put people up. They've got fighter aircraft that are totally autonomous. But putting all that aside, they've got weapon systems that can render all of these big ships absolutely obsolete. It would be over in seconds. No one wants to speak about it. But if you've got hypersonic missiles coming in, one of them, bang, would sink your battleship. Just one. It's all you would need. It's not like you see in the World War II movies where the German U-boat suffers and they fire torpedo after torpedo after torpedo. You know, trying to knock an enemy out. It's not like that anymore. Hypersonic missile system with satellite guidance technology has rendered the aircraft carrier, capital ships, utterly useless. Romantic World War II relic, completely pointless, outdated boy school fantasy. Schoolboy fantasy, I should say. That's all they are. Absolutely, utterly pointless. Aircraft carriers, finished. Big battleships, cruisers, frigates, finished. No place for them. The people that's on these vessels, they don't want to even think about it. They don't even want to think about it. That the enemy have got missiles that'll come in so fast the radar can't see them. So you won't see them coming in. You don't see stuff flying at 28 times the speed of sound. So, and it comes dropping right down on top of you. That's what they do. They go up. They go right up into the atmosphere. And they come down. The re-entry, they call it the re-entry vehicle. The re-entry vehicle comes in at Mach 28. Don't see it. Computer software, thinks it's a glitch. It comes onto the radar, comes into the radar sphere of scanning. The software thinks it's a glitch because nothing flies at Mach 28. And then it's bang, finished. The vessel's finished. So it's all psychological warfare, really. All these big aircraft carriers, USS Eisenhower and all that. I mean, 30 or 40 years ago, they were an actual threat. They were a threat. They had some potential. But now they're just big set of ducks. The bigger, the better. And the more aircraft they've got on them, some of the bigger ones have got like 95 aircraft on them and stuff like that. That's just, it's like kids in a sweetie shop to the enemy. Because before things kick off in a big way, they just fire a Vanguard missile at the big battleship. And, you know, instantly, that's 3,500 men or whatever killed, and it's sent to the bottom of the ocean, and all that planes and everything. They're not going to survive, a fire and then a saltwater bath. It's not going to happen. So there's an awful lot of this military posturing. It's just psychological warfare. That's all it is. Look at our big. Look at our big frigate, look at our big battleship. And they play all that music to get your emotions up and everything. Oh. It really is like cowboy time, isn't it? It's like Bonanza or something. It's quite pathetic. And people actually, yeah, it works. People actually believe it. People actually believe that these these big clunking battleships.
They actually believe they're a real threat. They're only a real threat to third world countries. You know, little states, little oil-rich states, Venezuela and stuff like that. Yeah, they would be a threat to them. Because they're not a threat in the real world. It's old technology. It's old technology, dated. Can you imagine the feeling, the destruction to the morale of the wider forces if they lost, you know, like 10 big battleships in a single hour, in a single day. Can you imagine? And all of that meant, can you imagine the mood, the vibe, the feeling with the rest of forces? But no one really wants to speak about that. No one really wants to speak about it. And we don't have any defense against them. We are just starting to develop a hypersonic missile now. But we are about 10 years behind where the Russians are at. So it'll take us about 10 years to catch up. They use solid rocket propulsion systems. That's what they're doing. It's not liquid fuel anymore. They've got some, and we just don't know exactly what they're using. It's top secret. Solid fuel. Rocket booster motors or some sort, that's what they call them. They're right across the range. So, we are not in a World War II movie. This is not Hollywood. This is the 21st century. And we have created enemies by pissing people off. And by deception, by theft, and by mass murder. The UK is just as bad, I know it is. The Anglo-American Empire, if you like. We've created enemies. We've pissed people off to such an extent that they want to annihilate us. Taking over all these mineral-rich small countries isn't without its price. They've got powerful allies, and we've been the bully. We have been the playground bully. And you know what happens to playground bullies, don't you? So our propaganda machine has got people lulled into a false sense of security. They don't have a clue. They don't have a clue. All of these missile systems and everything that they say that the Russians and the Chinese have got, they're all steered, controlled, whatever you want to call it, from space, from satellites. These are not World War II systems. These are not conventional systems. And then they've got the particle beam weapons as well, basically just fire a beam down space, and that's enough to destroy a vessel or a tank or whatever. It's going to be, well, it's Star Wars. That's what it is. So they played a very clever game. When we're busy jumping up and down, building bigger and bigger aircraft, bigger and bigger battleships. It's crazy. Britain just built 2 aircraft carriers, Queen Elizabeth and I think it's the Duke of Edinburgh was the name of the other one. Yeah, I think it's the Duke of Edinburgh. Anyway, huge battleships, huge aircraft carriers, the biggest Britain have ever had. modern, state of the art. I think they were. I think they were $7.5 billion each. I think that was the number. But the actual lunacy of it, the craziness of it, is we don't have the aircraft to put on them. We don't have enough aircraft to put in our aircraft carrier. It's absolutely laughable. So, on a sea, one of them, the Queen Elizabeth, went on a sea trial to New York. It sailed from Portsmouth in the south of England over to New York. And, it was doing this kind of, it's meant to be a sea trial, to get to iron out the glitches, so to speak. They didn't have enough aircraft for it. So they had to borrow some of America's F-35s. So we'd have, these are huge aircraft carriers. I think we had half a dozen helicopters on them or something. Helicopter gunship. What an embarrassment. What an absolute embarrassment. Having to ask America for a shot of some airplanes to put in our aircraft carrier. Because we've virtually bankrupted our country building the bloody thing. That's the world we live in. It's madness. Absolute madness. We're bankrupting our economy and screwing our people over. And there's more and more draconian laws being introduced, both in America and in Britain. More and more laws, more petty laws, tying people up in legality, litigation. And more and more we're becoming countries of just lawyers and legal action. They don't make any stuff anymore. We're not making anything. We're not actually doing anything. They call it service industry. Service what? Financial products. Fiat currency, in other words. We don't make anything anymore. We've got no real value. And as soon as we get some money, we just build ridiculous, outdated weapons platforms, like these aircraft carriers that we built, two of them. For what? For what? Single missile or sink it? Single missile. We'll sink these things. Bam, bam. $7.5 billion, bottom of the ocean. We fell behind. When we were busy strutting around like peacocks on a world stage with these great clunking romantic relics, World War II. Russia played a much, much cleverer game. They invested in super high-tech defensive missile systems. A fraction of the money we were spending on these big clunky battleships. We were playing checkers. Putin and Chinese are playing chess. That's the bottom line. We are not enough. We are not in a strong position. The news in Hollywood like to pretend that we are. And, the brag on about the capabilities of some of these aircraft and, planes and whatnot. But it's a joke. It's a joke. We're falling behind. All these offensive weapons that we have, and that's what they are. They're offensive, really offensive. They're all just targets, they're all just sitting ducks. old tech. It's old technology. We don't stand a chance. And the thing is, what can we do? We can throw more billions at it, and we can update our system. Sure we can. And that's probably, you know, what they intend on doing. But then that just starts another Cold War. That just starts another arms race. And it's already started. They keep saying, oh, we're going to try and, you know, we're going to try and avoid another arms race. We're in a bloody arms race. Come on. Of course we are. We're in the middle of an arms race. And we're falling behind in the race. So bloated with pride and ego and stupidity, blind arrogance, we're falling behind. So we're going to bankrupt our economies, you know, with even more spending. But we think if you throw enough money at something, it'll come all right. The economy is ruined. With bank bailouts and military spending. Military spending is off scale. Bank bailouts are off scale. We have completely knackered our economies with this. And we've ended up with technology that can be annihilated in a few days. Bang, gone. No strength in it. It's a psychological war. And we were winning the psychological war. We were not winning the technological war. We've lost it. We've certainly lost it. In every other sphere of military hardware, we've fallen behind. The Russians have got the best tanks in the world. By far, the Aramat tank. Nothing can touch it. They've always had the best tanks. The better tanks than Hitler. That was one of the reasons they managed to destroy three German armies. After the Battle of Stalingrad, the Russians had better tanks. They had better tanks then, but better tanks now. They've got unmanned tanks as well. The newer versions, very low to the ground. And in a lot of battlefield situations, you can't even see them. But even if you did see them, you'll struggle to blow them up. The way they're designed, they're very clever design. The Russians have got common sense on their side. You know, they've built them to hug the ground and to throw missiles off. You know, the shape of them, they'll just throw missiles off. Very clever. And as I say, it's no great loss if they lose one either. So there's nobody in it. They're all controlled by computers. So they're more advanced than the missile defense systems by miles, but also in tanks and also in field weaponry as well. That's another thing. Because no one can touch them. The Russians for the heavy field weapons. Talking about the heavy howitzer style things, we've got heavy field weapons that fire, you know, 50 miles. Conventional missile. So yeah, even if you want to talk battlefield stuff, we'll fall behind there as well. So, it just won't be the war. It won't be like anything we've seen before. It won't be guys dug in trenches and all that. That's all yesterday. It's all yesterday. It'll all be missiles flying around and people sitting with computers. Trained military people, of course, yes, they'll be sitting. Controlling unmanned submarines, unmanned tanks, unmanned aircraft and the anti-ship missile system, just sitting in an office, probably a hardened bunker, underground, concrete hardened bunker underground, orchestrated, you know, the destruction of all these things. And the money is involved. Wow. I think it's 100, I think I have it there, for one Tomahawk cruise missile. I'm sure it's 120 million. Would it be? No, it couldn't be as much as that. No, it's not. It's 1.2 million. Yes. 1.2 million. Not sure about dollars or pounds. But anyway, they're using those things. Remember, recently Trump had a spat in Syria, and they decided to fire 59 of them. They're only 27 of them connected. The rest were taken out with Assad's S-300 anti-missile system. So out of 59, 27. Did very little damage. No, it's a strange one now. I was only like three people killed. So they spent all of that money and all of that missiles to make some holes in the ground. That's psychological, isn't it? It's psychological warfare again. It doesn't make any sense to spend that kind of money making holes. Just making holes. Making holes in the airfields and whatnot. That's a lot of money to waste doing that. But yeah, that's all America's got. That's all they've got left. Military hardware. So yeah, we're in strange times. We really are. We're in strange times. The NATO's fractured. The European Union's fracture is falling apart. The other alliance, you know, there was going to be, I can't remember what you call it, it's another alliance between the Americas, Canada, the United States, and, Mexico, I guess. Or South America. All the governments of South America. They were hoping to make up like another European Union. What do you call that again? American Alliance. Basically, they're going to try and introduce a single currency for all the Americans. You know, from Alaska, right down to Canada, right down in South America. We're going to reset the economy and introduce a new currency. That's the plan. That's exactly what we're going to do. And we're going to call the currency the Amero. That's the plan. But there's a few countries in South Africa that just, South America that don't want to play ball, isn't there? Venezuela being the first one to spring to mind. So, just last week, the Americans had a failed coup in Venezuela. Another one. That's that's pretty clumsy, right? That's the second time we've caught out trying that little scam. I don't know. You sometimes wonder if I don't know. I sometimes think, you know, this must be God's hand on stuff. This must be God's hand on stuff. Because there's so much weird coincidence, so much strange. It's almost like the truth keeps coming out. It's almost like, you know, they keep trying different scams and different schemes, and they keep getting caught. And just looking more and more ridiculous as time goes on, because they've been outed as scammers to, you know, save us. This is just happening over and over again. It happened with those so-called chemical weapons attacks in Syria. We tried to set up the Assad regime, the Russians, by saying, you know, the drop started after. Absolute nonsense. It was us. It was also us that I didn't know it until recently, but it was also us that set fire to all the Kuwaiti oil fields. And we blamed Saddam Hussein, remember? Well, we're meant to be chasing him out of Kuwait. So there was a bit of a war there, and our media, our lamestream news, tried to tell us that there was a, what did they say? Well, they said it was sour grapes. Saddam's forces had, you know, hadn't given up. They just wanted to say, well, you know, well, stick your finger up the American. And Brits and just blow up all these oil fields. And then Red Adair came in with his team and just carefully went from well to well and put these horrendous fires, put them all out. But it would appear through recent revelations that it was all American. All them. The Iraqis did it. Just wanted to live quietly in their own country. And we won't let them. And we won't leave. I was watching Putin yesterday on it. I think it's an RT. Either RT or anyway, one of these two news channels, and it's like the local farmers and everything, they're absolutely sick of the American occupier. You know, they're like, stop it. Just ordinary guys with spades in the hand. They're not even armed. Farmers, peasants, they're running up to the tanks and saying, go home. We don't want you here. F off. Leave our oil alone. And in some cases, like lying on the road and everything, unarmed men. And the American tanks, Humvees and stuff, are just turning around and going back. So they're being heckled like mad, you know what I'm saying? Like, just go home. Leave our country alone. Leave our oil alone. Stop stealing our oil. Stop pretending you're here to help, because you're not. I don't want you here. You're invaders. Just ordinary guys. Just ordinary farmers. Unbelievable. Some of them still with a farm gear on, you know? A country farm gear on. It's a horrendous situation. America's still been fed. It's embarrassing. And they're only there for one reason, steal oil. So I don't know how that's going to work out, because the price of oil has went through the floor. So what's the point of stealing oil in Syria and then having to sell it from Syria, or else, you know, ship it across the Atlantic? What is the point of doing that when oil is like $25 a barrel? The atomic poisons. Not going to happen. Absolutely not going to happen. Not even going to move oil. If there's a glut in the world market, and the arse is falling out of the value of it, I mean, it's just not worth moving. So if it's not worth moving, it's not really worth stealing, is it? Worth stealing. Makes you wonder. It really does. So I'm expecting them just to, the Americans there in the north in Syria, where they're stealing the oil, I'm expecting them just go home, just to walk away from these oil fields. It's just a, what is the point of producing oil into an already saturated market? With oil, it's worth a fraction of its previous volume. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens, for sure. Anyway, yeah, I'm going to wind up the show. That was a quick hour. That was a very quick hour. I've only got a minute or two left, so I'm going to wind up the show now. But listen, back to back for my show, there's a round table. You're more than welcome to join in the round table. It's often good, it's often very interesting, it's often very good crack as well. It's a lot more relaxed, get people phoning in, usually every week. So yeah, it's informal, it's good fun. So you're welcome to come over. Like I say, it's back to back with my show. I'm just going to wind up now and pass it back to Richard. But yeah, it's been an interesting show. It's been from my side of things. But anyway, I'll be back next week, next Thursday, with another edition of the 21st Century Jacobite. I would look forward to hearing from you or seeing you then. But I'm going to say good night and God bless for now. And I hope to see you over on the round table. So, yeah, good night, God bless.
Cavers can't move.